You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. Today we'll be speaking with Andy Moss, President and CEO of the Moss Group Incorporated, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm for governmental and non-governmental agencies. Before establishing this venture, Ms. Moss worked in the Georgia Department of Corrections as an assistant deputy commissioner in the operations division. More recently, she spent 6 years as a program specialist with the National Institute of Corrections. In this role, she conducted on-site consultations with over 40 institutions nationwide on a number of issues facing the field. Her work for the NIC in staff sexual misconduct led to a focus in institutional culture. Today, Ms. Moss will be giving us some insight on agency culture in corrections. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Ms. Moss.
Thank you for inviting me.
First of all, let's talk about the term agency culture. How can we define it?
Well, I think it really speaks to the environment of an agency or an institution. I think we've always known it's there, but defining it has been more academic. Most definitions, I think, emphasize that it's really the sum of a number of parts, and I think patterns of behavior, assumptions about the values in our environments, accepted ways of communicating, those are some of the ways I think it really presents itself. And I recently heard a great comment. In fact, I was talking to a colleague about this program, and she does quite a bit of work in assessing culture and talked about, you know, it's really kind of like a water to fish. If that water becomes toxic or the lake is drained, you know, the fish responds accordingly. And
right.
I think the environment for our institutions and our agencies is critical.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Why is this the focus of agency culture? Why is this important for correctional departments to address and take a closer look at?
Well, I think it's particularly important for corrections, and I don't think it's particularly new that we're looking at it, but I think a lot of my work has been in the prison environment, although I think it's important to all the settings in corrections. But I think in our prisons with closed environments, relatively closed environments, and people living there 24/7, we're often short-staffed and responsible for a lot of complicated tasks, and a leader just can't afford to ignore or be passive about creating a positive culture. And I think the obvious things, we can see increases in violence. I think we can see misconduct of staff, and it just creates really kind of the engine that needs to drive our environments.
Right, and the correctional atmosphere really consumes both the employee and inmate, doesn't it?
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You mentioned some examples of what can happen with negative culture in a correctional environment. What are some other examples, and what are the specific effects on both staff and inmates?
Well, I think when there's a toxic environment and it's fear-based, it's just fertile ground for misconduct and, as I said, increased violence. I think we also see that in the work that I've done in misconduct and some of the other management interventions, if we have a negative environment or negative culture, then you see an increase in the code of silence, both on the staff part and on the inmate part, so that I think it's very profound in terms of the negative results. But I think, on the other hand, if you have a hope-based culture, and it makes all the difference to the morale of the staff and the safety and productivity of everyone.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, obviously, that it can have an effect on both staff and inmate. Now, a good culture can also have an effect, like you're saying, correct?
Mm-hmm, right.
How so can a good culture? What are some results of having a good culture in your work environment?
Well, I think the opposite is true. I mean, instead of having abuse of power and loss of dignity of staff and population, then what you do is you create a very productive environment. And, you know, prisons are tough to create healthy environments, and it's a dynamic situation. So that it makes a huge difference if staff, particularly line staff, feel like the leadership is moving the environment in a way that sends a message that they're cared about and that the inmates understand that they're being treated respectfully. It makes a tremendous difference in terms of the day-to-day operations of the facility.
Mm. That's a good point in terms of in prison. Prison is by large considered, by its definition alone, a negative place because you have people, obviously, who've done something wrong in society, and and those people permeate the whole environment. For a correctional officer to come into that, it takes a lot personally to deal with that environment, does it not?
Well, I think it's the inmates certainly are a major part of it, but I think there's a lot of potential for toxic influence. I think our growth in corrections has also created some cultural collisions that staff walk into as well. I mean, it's very typical that you have urban inmates in an environment that's rural staff, or you have a number of different ethnic groups, both on staff and with inmates. So I think the environment can become quite a collision for everyone. I think there's a lot of hope in terms of how we can begin to address that, but I think, yes, it's difficult for anyone walking into the environment where there's some natural fear built into the environment.
That's some great information for our audience. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Andy Moss, President and CEO of the Moss Group Incorporated, about agency culture. Now, Andy, is the process of looking at an agency's culture something new, or is it more of a renewal?
No, I think we've been aware of culture, and I think plenty of folks have addressed culture. Probably one of the ways I think about it is, if you think about in the 80s when we were really addressing use of force, we knew that it was more than responding to training of staff, but that it was a cultural shift. I think in my work in the 90s and into this decade, we've seen that a lot in sexual misconduct, where we go in and know that we're not just addressing don't have sex, but we're addressing the environment to minimize opportunities for misconduct. So I think that we've been aware of culture all along. I think what is new, what is emerging that is new, is to look at it less academically and to look at it in terms of what we know and how can we create management tools and interventions to really assess the culture. That's what I think we've been missing.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it fall in the lap of administrators to then really take a look at the cultures in their individual institutions?
Well, I think it's a combination of, first of all, you have to have leadership involved, because leadership has probably one of the greatest responsibilities in terms of creating the culture. But it can't be created by one person, one leader. It really requires the full team of people that are in the culture, to include inmates. Mm-hmm. So I think that you need, administrators need to understand ways to assess the culture, and I think those tools are what are critical.
That's an excellent point about also involving inmates. Now, are there strategies or are there ways, what resources can inmates bring to this whole process?
Well, my own bias is that if you're going to assess and understand a culture, that you need to understand all the components and you need to talk with everybody in the culture. I think that my strong interest in this came out of seeing the loss of culture in institutions that we're really going through, whether it's a huge scandal or a lot of negative publicity. That's not a time that you can listen to staff and listen to inmates. And so I think when you go into assess culture, finding ways in which to really listen to what line staff feel in terms of the trends that are there in the culture. You know, my own style is to do focus groups and combine that with some quantitative work as well as qualitative work.
That's great detail. What are some ways that agencies can monitor or be wary of their agency's culture?
Well, I think that can be done both internally by agencies to some extent, and then my own bias is that there are certain situations to get a true reflection of what the culture looks like. It's good to have some external support to do that too. I think, you know, simply stated, I think there are things that we can look at that are red flags. I mean, I think looking at the language that's used in a within a facility, looking at how business is done on a real informal level, from my experience, how are investigations done. I mean, something that tells me whether the staff perceives that they are in a culture that they can report information or not report information.
Now, the NIC has recently begun training on an initiative in institutional culture. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that's going to entail?
Sure. I was fortunate enough to be with NIC when that protocol was funded and developed by Criminal Justice Institute. That protocol really took the work that we had, that NIC had done in sexual misconduct, looking at mission changes going on around the country, and also looking at the workforce that we're involved with in the changing workforce. And that preliminary work really allowed us to ask the questions, how can we assist and provide technical assistance to organizations and facilities to look at, you know, a concrete management way to look at, here's what we see in the culture, now what are some strategies that we can use to enhance the culture, create a healthier culture. And that protocol involves focus group work as well as some instrumentation to look at trends within the culture.
Now, from your own experiences with the NIC, this initiative I think is unique or is it doing some important work because it's almost two parts. It's first sending in an assessment team and then following it up with technical assistance. Can you talk about how important those two elements are working together?
Sure, because I think if you go in and assess and then you have a picture to look at, you've got to ask the question, so what? So you have to go in and really come up with some good strategies. The development of the work at NIC, and of course, I'm not with NIC, but I know that they're still continuing to do some really good work there. They are, process they're in right now is that they have developed the protocol to assess, and they've trained people in that assessment process. And I know that they are now, NIC has now funded a way to develop particular strategies and response. And there is technical assistance funding associated with each institution that is being assessed so that there can be some immediate strategies even before the more formal strategies are developed. So it's a couple of year process to really develop both a protocol and a response. And of course, in my new endeavors in the Moss Group, we hope to work very collaboratively with NIC and also with other folks in partnership who see the need in many arenas. You know, this institutional culture assessment really is also very appropriate for other custodial settings as well.
Right. And along that lines, with the work that both the NIC and now yourself with the Moss Group is doing, can aiding one facility have an impact on improving agency culture, or does it take the entire agency to really take a closer look at the whole?
Well, it's a great question, and I think one of the also emerging things that the protocol brings is really looking at the systemic approach to assessing institutional culture. And by that, I think that there is a real acknowledgement in the current work that obviously a facility is a part of a larger system. And so the protocol that NIC has, for instance, and the work that I do, really goes in with understanding that part of the feedback to the leadership of the agency has got to include the relationship of that institution to the larger agency. For instance, if there's a regional office, that regional office is really part of the assessment feedback that comes from the doing an individual institution. But the other thing that I think is real important in this point is that you don't go in and do this kind of work unless you really go through the top of the agency and they have a commitment to looking at the culture, because as you start to look at one aspect of the system, it certainly does reflect on the rest of the system.
That's definitely true. Well, that concludes today's Live Talk. Thank you to Andy Moss of the Moss Group Incorporated for joining us today and giving us some insight on agency culture, and thank you to our audience for tuning in. Now, to contact Ms. Moss, you can call her directly at 202-548-4850 or email her at amoss71572@aol.com. And to learn more on culture and corrections, be sure to read this week's feature story and program profile on corrections.com. And beginning the week of June 17th, the Corrections Connection begins its two-week look at distance learning and its impact on correctional training. Thank you again to Andy Moss for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. And for CNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.